take up the second, and for the time being, the final lesson. Dealing with miserable people. Miserable people. Taken from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16 through verse 20. Let us hear verse 16.
For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised.
Read on.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable.
Read that part again.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Are you miserable? Are you a miserable person? So this is a text that we studied from last week, and this is a text that we are going to study from now. If it's only in this life we have hope in Jesus Christ, of all the miserable people in the world, we would be the most miserable. That's what the text means. If all that Jesus Christ means to you relates only to here and now, then we are miserable people. Before I proceed, Sunday coming, we'll have Brother Clive Brown speaking to us. Clive spoke with us, for us already. But Sunday morning, he'll be speaking to us. Be mindful that Clive has been preaching from he was a teenager. That's right. And we encourage you to come and be benefited from the lesson that he will be sharing with us next Sunday morning. Clive is the brother of Maureen, and Sister Perry. I think Clive is the older one. Sister Perry is? Okay. But we'll be glad to have Clive. The passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, taking into consideration the total passage, the main and central issue being discussed by Paul in that text, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its implication for us. That's the subject being dealt with in that passage. Christ's resurrection and its implication for us. From the beginning, the ways of the Almighty God has never been without detractors, doubters, and unbelievers. That is, whatever God has given to man, however authentic it was, there have always been those who want to belittle it, detract from its value, those who doubt what God says, those who were unbelievers. Let us take an example. In the book, most of you know that the book of Job is older than the book of Genesis. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you now, yes. So don't watch the place that these books fall in the Bible. While Job is like it is in the middle of the Bible. Job lived older, longer than most of these characters. And the book itself is older than Genesis. Put another way, Job lived before Moses, who wrote Genesis. Listen. I'm still on the point that God's ways have always had detractors, doubters, and unbelievers. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Wait, when he mad today? Truly. Because, you know, it seems as if even for the Almighty God, he was not to be there. Read on, brother.
And the Lord said unto Satan,
Where you come from?
Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down.
That's right. So here you have Satan, who has been against the way of God. Satan who makes detractors, doubters, and unbelievers out of men. Here God's sons presenting themselves, and he's there too. Remember what I said, that God's way, it has never been without detractors, doubters, and unbelievers. Surrounding the subject of the resurrection, there have been ignorance, falsehood, and detractors. The subject of the resurrection. Man's hope in Jesus Christ now, and man's hope in Jesus Christ in the hereafter, has its guarantee because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Occurring. There were detractors, as I pointed out last week. Remember, we are studying from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So in that same city, in the time of Paul's, we have the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers. They delve in what they call thinking and meditation and showing you what's wrong with your belief and what is right. The Epicurean and the Stoics philosopher. Look at the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, and I want verse 18. Let us hear that quickly.
Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him.
You hear? They were right there. They are Greek philosophers. They encountered Paul. But watch here. They believe that there was no resurrection, no life after death. But in addition, they were not only the Stoic and the Epicureans who were Greek philosophers. I mentioned last week that we had the Sadducees, but not only the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection. There was another branch of falsehood. Are we all here? Who made false claim? Listen, let us hear a little about them in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 through 19. Let us hear. Paul telling the young preacher Timothy to stay away from profane and vain talking. When him talk about babbling, him talk about people who talk a lot of foolishness. No, listen to them. That's what Paul was encouraging the young Timothy to whom the letter was written. Read on, brother.
For they will increase unto more ungodliness.
If you listen to them, the more they talk is the more ungodliness they produce. And people are like that today too. Read on.
And their word will eat as doth a canker.
Like cancer, their words. That's how the foolishness that they talk. And people are like that today. Read, brother.
Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus.
Paul named two of the adherent to this philosophy.
Who concerning the truth have erred.
So this is another group, you know. While the Epicureans and the Stoic don't believe in any life after death, any resurrection, these said, well, resurrection passed already, there's none to come. Read on.
And overthrow the faith of some.
You notice that false doctrine always carry consequences. Terrible consequences. Because there are people gullible enough that anything comes to their ears, they believe it. I have taught you here that the Bible teaches that Christians just any and anything that comes your way. What verse are you, brother? Let us hear 19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his.
Forever he does. He to him. And even though you may not know whether or not you belong to Jesus Christ, Christ knows the men and women who have submitted their lives to the gospel. and thereby belonging to Christ. So here is another group of unbelievers. May I just add something here? We are studying from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are looking on the subject of the resurrection. All the important claim that Jesus Christ made in reference to himself, in reference to that which he has come to accomplish for man's salvation, all of that, they are dependent on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's right. Corinthians chapter 15, from where we are studying, when the Apostle Paul wrote verse 5 and 6, and if my memory serves the right 7, but I think if my memory serves right, verse 5 and 6, it was to tell Christians and the unbelievers who may have some doubt about resurrection, that look here, Christ's resurrection, while in one sense it was especially for his followers, watch it. The Apostle Paul says, he said in those verses, here are some witnesses, you can go and check them out. I find that awesome. Listen, let us hear.
15:5.
Yes.
And that he was seen of Cephas.
He was seen of Peter.
Cephas, then of the 12.
Then he was seen of the 12.
After that, he
after
was.
After having seen by these,
he was seen 500 brethren at once.
Wait. Over 500 brethren at once.
Of whom the greater part remain unto this present.
Wait. May I not be seen? Is the apostle of Jesus Christ saying to his audience, if you Corinthians permit yourself to be wrongly led by falsehood, and if you have doubt about the resurrection of Jesus Christ on which your salvation depends, here are some people who witnessed the resurrection. Peter, James, and on one occasion Jesus Christ was seen up over, when he said above, he doesn't mean the 500 was up in heaven, above, you know, years ago when I first read that, that's what I thought, that Paul meant when he said he was seen up above, that the 500 were above, no, that means over 500 written. But he adds something else here. He said what?
Of whom the greater part remain unto this present.
Of these 500 that witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said the greater portion is still alive.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. You can go and check them out. You can go and talk to them. That they have seen Jesus Christ after he was resurrected.
That's right.
That's the import of those verses. This great witness of Jesus Christ, he's saying to his audience, check it out. Christ died and is now resurrected alive. We do not serve a dead Savior. He was dead. But not only is he alive now, he's alive forever. Dealing with our salvation. Are we all here? But in the midst of all these detractors and believers and doubters, in verse 20, we have heaven's affirmation as it relates to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 20.
But now.
Wait. That's verse 20. Wait. He has been saying a lot of things. Verse 5, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about whether Christ was not resurrected or not because of the falsehood that the detractors are spread there at Corinth, and some of the gullible Christian accepted it. Then Paul came to heaven's affirmation. But now,
is Christ risen?
Is Jesus Christ risen from the dead?
Amen.
And
become the first fruits of them that slept.
Wait. May I? I'm thinking, should I just drop that now? I had in mind to go in a little more detail about the business. Somebody, what this is about first fruit. We'll be looking at it, hopefully, in the book of Leviticus, I think it is chapter 23, verse 10, 11, 12. But the business about the first fruit was when harvest time came and the Almighty God had a regulation, a rule there for the Israelites, that when they reap the first fruit, they should bring some to the priest. And the priest would present it to God. And what the first fruit was, it was a proof. Wait. It was really, as the name implies, it was the first reaping of crop that came early. But that first reaping only indicated to the Israelite that this is a sample of what you will reap in the next month or the next 2 months. You see, it was only a sample of the great reaping that is to come. When he referred to Jesus' resurrection as the first fruit, it is saying that Jesus' resurrection is a sample of the great resurrection of all of us that is to come. That's why he used the word first fruit there. Are we there? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, as I've just said, that in the midst of Paul, dealing with the doubters and the detractors, he repeat heaven's affirmation that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We were made, when I said we, all of us, all human beings, we were made and constituted with eternity in our constitution. Brother Mitchell, cut that down for me. When the Almighty God made man, he never made man, including you and me, He never made us that we live for the 20 years, or the 40 years, or the 60 years, or the 80 years, or the, and then we die and we are dead forever. That's not the way we were made up. We were made with eternity in mind. Every man and every woman. You must remember that. God so constituted. Let us run to this great passage of Luke chapter 20, verse 37 through 38. Let us hear it.
Now that the dead are raised,
even Moses
showed at the bush that he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob.
Stop there. May I? Just mere referring to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You and I would see nothing in that. But when the Almighty God said that to Moses, there was a lack of divine truth in that. Did Moses understand? Did he understand it? I think so, but I'm not sure. Just simply, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob. Well, yes, God. Abraham served you, Isaac served you, Jacob served you. What's the big thing? You see, as it was then, so it is now. We read curious, the best of us. God, when God said it, he said, I am. Yeah. That made all the difference.
That's right.
God didn't say, I was, or I had been. That's right. Well, in effect, when he said, I am, wait, Brother Mitchell, as I've often explained, these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had been dead for many years. When God said it to Moses, they have been dead. What's the point, Brother Mitchell? This that God used, the present tense of the verb indicates that one, he was still their God, two, they were still alive. I am the God of Abraham. What did you say, God? You are Abraham God still? Yes. But they are dead. The Almighty God would have firmly replied to Moses, they are still alive to me. In fact, read, brother.
For he is not a God of the dead.
He is not a God of the dead.
But of the living.
But of the living. Wait. That means, even though Abraham had been dead for some 200 or 300 years, Isaac had been dead for probably 100, 150 years, Jacob had been dead for between 70 and to 100 years, they have all been dead, but God was still their God because they were still alive.
For all live.
You get the import there? It means that Even the men and women who died are still alive to God. That's what that implies. Wait. He didn't say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive to me. That little last.
For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him.
All are still alive to the Almighty God. Are we all there? I'm still on the point that when the Almighty God made us, when he put us together, when he made the first man, the first woman, the Almighty God made us with eternity in mind. Are we all there? When you and I read in Luke chapter 16, let us have it, brother. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 24, quick.
There was a certain rich man,
mm-hmm,
which was clothed in purple and fine linen,
mm-hmm,
and fared sumptuously every day.
Uh-huh.
And there was a beggar named Lazarus.
Uh-huh.
Was laid at his gate full of sores,
uh-huh,
and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table.
That's right.
Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
Uh-huh.
And it came to pass that the beggar died.
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that. So you have the beggar who died. Uh-huh.
And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
He was carried. You know, sometimes you see some funeral and some of the vehicle in which they come is just awesome. Stretch limousine and all of these. Well, you know what? For you to die and have an angel carry you into Abraham's bosom, you can't beat that. That's right. The beggar died and was what?
Carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
That's right. Read on.
The rich man also died and was buried.
just a simple, he was buried. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of them is brought to us as a servant of God. That's the one who was carried by angel. The other one, he was just buried. But there are some further things. Wait, notice. Both people were dead. Did you get it? Yes. Both of them, the rich man died, the beggar died. Watch here now.
And in hell, he lifted up his eyes.
Always remember, Hades, that's the place. That's the home of the disembodied. Hades is the place where all of us, all the people who have ever lived and died, when they are dead, their spirit or soul go in Hades. Christ went to Hades. Hades is not hell. It is the world of the spirit. No, I didn't say dog. The spirit, man's soul, man God-like heart, await the final judgment in Hades. Read, brother.
Being in torment.
Uh-huh.
Torments.
Uh-huh.
And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom.
Wait. But they were dead. Huh? And he sees
Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom.
You get the idea? That both the godly and the ungodly, they were at different places. generally, you see, they were all in AD. Watch it. But they had consciousness.
That's right.
Are we all here? They were not annihilated or wiped out forever. Are we all here? What the brothers just read here about seeing Abram afar off, huh? And asking for water to cool his tongue. This probably was while we were having repast for him. That's right. This probably a few days after the funeral. After the death, rather. When the family were treating those who attend the funeral to a meal. At that time, they were dead. But they maintained consciousness. What is the point? Because we were made with eternity in mind, we are not annihilated, wiped out at death. We remain alive.
That's right.
Even though we are not alive to this world, we are alive to God.
That's right.
But we are there. But there is an observable, blessed contrast between the hopelessness of the disobedience and the ungodly and the confidence of the obedient and the believers as they both approach death. I repeat, because we were made with eternity in mind, as is seen in the passage of Luke chapter 16 that has just been read about the rich man died, the beggar died, but they still maintain consciousness after their passing. I am here saying that there is an observable, there is a blessed contrast, difference between the hopelessness, yes, hopelessness of the disobedient man or woman, of the ungodly man or woman, and the confidence of the obedient believers as we contemplate death. Look at 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15, verse 55 through 57. Let us hear it. 1 Corinthians 15. 55, 57.
O death.
O death.
Where is thy sting?
Where is thy sting?
O grave.
O grave.
Where is thy victory?
Where is thy victory?
The sting of death is sin.
The sting of death is sin.
And the strength of sin is the law.
The strength of sin is the law.
But thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Stop there a minute. Don't move. You know how comes we have that victory? Through Jesus' resurrection. That's what gives us that victory. And what verse you stop?
57.
57. While the passage of 1 Corinthians 15 deals with the fact that there will be a general resurrection for every man, every woman, the victory here is the victory for the believers. The ungodly man who will be resurrected or woman, you have no victory because you have not come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. The victory that is spoken about here, wait, the victory can be yours, but only through your obedience to the gospel of Christ. Wait. The ungodly men and women, you have a right to be so afraid of death. That's right. Because physical death is the first death, but it is not the terriblest of death. The second death is the terrible. So the victory spoke about here is the victory for the Christian men and women who are in Jesus Christ. The text makes a distinction. It speaks of the resurrection of the Christians, and Jesus Christ, speaking on the same subject, speak of the resurrection of life and the resurrection of judgment. Wait. Somebody didn't hear that. Jesus Christ, speaking on the same subject Paul is speaking on here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ speaking on the same subject in the book of St. John chapter 5. Verse 28 and 29, Jesus Christ makes a distinction between the resurrection of life and the resurrection of condemnation or judgment. Run to it for me, brother. St. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. In fact, brother, time is running out. Before you go there, just give me a little taste of same 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me just drop this by. Verse 20, 22 through 25. 3. Quick. 1 Corinthians.
But now is Christ risen from the dead.
Now is Christ risen from the dead.
And become the first fruit of them that slept.
Become the first fruit, meaning Jesus' resurrection is only a pledge of the greater resurrection of all human beings that are going to come because of Christ's resurrection. When you read verse 20, step down to 22.
For as in Adam all die.
Mm-hmm.
Even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Here, it gives two representatives. Adam is the representative of the biological, of the physical. And thereby, because we come from Adam, we are subject to death. All of us. Read on.
But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit.
Step back up to 22.
For as in Adam all die.
That's a fact. Every man, every woman will taste of death.
Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive.
Every man, every woman will be resurrected. That's a fact. Because of Jesus' resurrection. But
every man in his own order.
Everybody gets that. Everybody gets that. Part of what is included there is that the godly and the ungodly will be in different order. But let Jesus Christ elaborate now on it in the book of St. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29.
Marvel not at this.
Don't wonder. Don't confuse yourself at this.
For the hour is coming. In the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice.
Did he say some?
All that are in the graves.
Everybody gets it. If you're among us as an unbeliever, a man or woman who is not a Christian, there is a general resurrection coming for all men and all women. All that are in the grave shall come. Be it that they have a funeral at sea or wherever, there will be a general resurrection. Paul implied that in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 25, and Jesus Christ is dealing with it here. Read, brother.
And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life.
Stop here. We are trying to wrap up now. The resurrection of life is what Paul was dealing with largely in 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 21, 22, 23. The resurrection of life, the resurrection of the believers. Talks about the resurrection of Christ, then those who are of Christ, those who belong to Christ. That's the resurrection of life. We are going to be resurrected to be given real life.
That's right.
That's it. What we have now is only a taste of life with all its pain, problem, challenges, tears, frustration, failures, disappointment. I mean, name it. That's what this life present. But in the life to be given to us at the resurrection, that's a different ballgame. That is the resurrection of life. Read, brother.
And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Everybody hear that? Everybody hear that? Because Jesus Christ was resurrected, all men and all women will be one day resurrected. But there'll be that of the believers, the Christian, the obedient men and women, those who are obedient to the gospel of Christ, and those who were disobedient. I'm here deciding whether to go any further with this lesson, and I've made a decision not to go any further. I want to comment, but either tonight or some other time, on this, if it's only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But we don't have time now. Wait, I have the time. But I want to have your attention, and I feel that to take up the rest of this, very important, very important. that we don't occupy the position of those who are most miserable. I pointed out that the word miserable means pitiful, a person that you are to be sorry for. That's the concept of the word miserable. But as I've said, either tonight or later, I'll spend 15, 20 minutes on this. What we encourage you, Christians, if you recognize that you are not faithful to Christ and to his cause, then take the lesson today to encourage you to be more committed to Christ. If you're here today, you are not a Christian, you are not a believer, you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ in faith, repentance, confession of Christ's name and getting baptized. If you have not done that, it means you are still outside of Christ. You have not yet been forgiven by God. But today you can make that decision for Christ. Because Jesus Christ is always ready to forgive you when you turn your life over to his management. We are here to be of help to you. You have questions. There are things said in the lesson that you want some clarification, and we are here to help. The bottom line is that Jesus Christ loves you and cares for you enough that he wants you to turn your life over to him. Not tomorrow. You know why not tomorrow? Christ does not promise any of us tomorrow. He wants you to turn your life over to him now. Jesus Christ was resurrected, and therefore, you and I will one day be resurrected. Every man, every woman will come from the grave one day to stand before God to be judged in reference to how you live this life. Come now. Let Jesus Christ help you to live this life the right way. Come believing in him. Come accepting his resurrection as true, as fact, and that Christ's resurrection has implications for you. Come, turn your life over to Jesus Christ as we stand.